those fears from within. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation, and look at this, and my what? My hope. My hope. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing, in no thing, in failure, in paranoia, in rejection, in nothing shall I be afraid.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze would conclude his message titled, God is the Hope in the Midst of Our Fears. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God is the Hope in the Midst of Our Fears.
People feel that they're going to fail, and so they don't want to try anything. They don't want to step out. They don't want to risk anything because they feel like they're going to fail. And so we need to realize that this is something that paralyzes us. Many people will not reach their full potential because of fear, that they can't get beyond some things. You know, I think of John Madden. Many of you may remember John Madden. He used to coach the Oakland Raiders back during the years when they would play the Pittsburgh Steelers when LC was playing. And there would always be those vicious rivalries between the Steelers and the Raiders. I mean, it was just a vicious rivalry. Well, John Madden was the head coach. And John Madden, after he finished coaching, he became a commentator. And as a commentator, you got to go all over the country to cover games. But John Madden had a problem. He was afraid to fly. And so they built a special bus for John Madden that drove him all over the country from game to game because he had this fear of flying. And so what limited him? So if there was a game that was outside the continental U.S., guess what? John Madden couldn't go because the bus couldn't drive across water. And it would take too long any other way. So his fear, even though he was able to do some things, his fear did limit him in other ways. And sometimes our fear can grip us. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came so that he would meet our fears within. Those fears, those things that we struggle within. See, we need to be like the little boy, you know, who didn't fear failure. He was out in his front yard. He had a baseball bat and a ball, and he threw it up, swung, and missed it. And he said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. He threw the ball up again, swung, and missed it. He said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. He took the ball, threw it up, swung, and missed it again. He said, I'm the greatest batter in the world. And then somebody said, well, how come you keep missing the ball? If you're the greatest batter, how come you keep missing it? He took the ball, threw it up, and said, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. So, failure. See, we have to realize that failure will hinder us. The little boy didn't let failure hinder him. He kept right on pushing. He kept right on going. Another thing that hinders us within is we fear and become paranoid. You know, we think about how that, you know, I reminded of that song. I was thinking about this morning. And I don't even know what the words of the song. Not even sure who sings the song. But the words, the chorus came to my mind. I always feel like somebody's watching me. What is that? That's being paranoid. That no matter where you are, you think that people are watching you. And it becomes a fear because, you know, now, you know, you can be in different places and it feels like, you know, is somebody watching me? And you begin to fear and your life becomes paralyzed because of this paranoia. Yeah. And there was a song back in the 70s by a group called Buffalo Springfield. and they sang a song for What It's Worth. And there was a chorus in the song that says, paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. And you know, I've run into some people, man, they think that everybody's out to get them. I remember I ran into this brother one time, and he called me, man. He wanted to come in for some counseling, and we counseled. And this guy went on to tell me how that the government had a plot and was out to take him down. And he had this thing detailed, and so, you know, every time he got in his car, that, you know, there was somebody from the government, they was looking at him. And, you know, when in his house when he was there at night, he was telling me people were standing across the street with binoculars looking in his window. And he went on and on and on. And I thought to myself, man, I hope my tax dollars are paying for something more than just trying to spy somebody like you out, right? But he was paranoid. And when you think about this idea of paranoia, it runs deep in us. And then, you know, then we begin to formulate all kind of things, and we begin to formulate all kind of ideas, and it becomes a deep-rooted fear in our life. But Jesus came to give us hope. I looked at the top 10 things that cause people fear. So we're talking about what? Fear from within. The top 10 things that cause people fear. Number one was flying. Number two was public speaking. Number three was heights. Number four was the dark. Number five was intimacy. Number six was death. Number seven was failure. Listen to number eight. Number eight on this list was rejection. And not rejection by somebody else, but self-rejection. Self-rejection. Jesus came to meet those fears. Those fears from within. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, in verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation, and look at this, and my what? My hope. My hope. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing, in no thing, in failure, in paranoia, in rejection, in nothing shall I be afraid, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, my hope. This is my hope. And that word, earnest expectation, you know what that means in the Greek? It means they used it when they wanted to show a stretching of the neck. You know when you stretch your neck? When you're late for work and you're waiting for the bus, right? My earnest expectation is that it's coming in the next few minutes. What are you doing? You're stretching that neck out there. Paul said, my earnest expectation and my hope is that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Those things within, that they would not cause me to be fearful. That the Lord has given me power through Jesus Christ, that whether I live or whether I die, that I'm going to glorify the Lord. We fear that which is within. But I stand here to tell you today that because of Christmas, we have hope. We fear, secondly, that which is without. We fear that which is without. But again, I stand to tell you that the reason Jesus came was to give us hope. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Whatever your outward fears, whatever your intimidation is, there's a big thing going on today. Some of your kids are probably have experienced it, and this whole idea of bullying, and that a lot of kids are being bullied, and people are being bullied over the internet. There's all type of bullying going on, and because of that, people are fearful. But I stand here to tell you that God said, in his word, that there is hope. Look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That if my life is in God's hand, nothing is going to happen to me unless God wants it to. That if I serve a God who is all powerful, if I serve a God who can create something out of nothing, sure, he can speak to those things outside that would seek to bring fear in my life. God is my light. Put that slide back up there, and I want to show you this. David uses three powerful metaphors to proclaim the fact that God is able to give us victory over any phobia that we have. The first is that God is light, that he's able to dispel the darkness of the threats against you, the darkness of those things that would seek to cause you to be terrified, the darkness that would render your life inoperative. God shines the light on it and enables you to have victory. The second metaphor that he uses, God is a liberator. He says, the Lord is my light and salvation. That word salvation is not used in the redemptive sense for being saved, but the word salvation here is used in the fact that you've been delivered out of something. And so what he's saying here is that the Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my Redeemer, the Lord is the one who frees me from my fear. And then he uses God as a fortress. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. That word strength actually means a stronghold. It means that God is my fort that's around me. He's the one that's going to protect me. He's the one that's going to keep me safe. And so the answer that David has to his question, notice, let's read it again. And let's notice he's asking two questions here. The first question is, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now notice, he doesn't answer the question. He asked the question, but he don't answer it. So what is the reader supposed to do? Well, this is one of those devices in the Hebrew language where the answer is implied in the question. And so we could answer it like this. Whom shall I fear? Absolutely no one. Whom shall I be afraid? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing that can happen to you. Nothing that can happen to you. If you are walking with God, if you are living for God, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that can happen to you that God does not allow to happen. So whatever, if I know that I'm walking with him, and see, the problem is that we got to have wisdom to know when we're walking with him and when we're walking in the flesh. Because when we're walking in the flesh and stuff starts happening to us, you can't go back and say, God, what's going on? No, you're on your own. But if I'm living for God and walking for God and things begin to happen to me, then the only thing I can do is sit back and I can answer the question and say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know that you're in control. You know, I'm on a panel every Thursday that answers questions on TV. It's called Hard Questions. And they started out, people called in, and they asked the question. Now they go on the street and they videotape people. And the hard question last time is, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Amen. And my answer was this. You know, that's the wrong question to ask. Amen. The question to ask should be, why doesn't bad things happen to everybody? Amen. Because we're all sinners. Amen. And we all deserve to be the victims of evil and injustice. But what does God do? God puts a hedge of protection around us, and he keeps us safe. He keeps us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. So when I look at it from that perspective, that God is keeping me safe, and if something happens to me that I wonder why it's happening, then I just have to say, okay, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand it. But like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not going to let my faith waver. I'm not going to let my faith wane. I'm going to continue to trust God. And so we see here that there are things within that cause us to be fearful. There are things that are without that cause us to be fearful. But let me close by saying this, that there is one thing beyond that causes us to be fearful. And that one thing beyond is death. The one thing that's beyond. And if all of us were honest, at some point in time, we have had fearful thoughts about death. Regardless of how we have felt and how much fear has gripped us about the unknown, about what's beyond. Man, I'm so glad. I am so glad that the Lord took care of that for us. And you know, because now let me say this, that because God answered the death question, the only thing we need to be concerned about is the life question. Man, you know, I mean, just think if you, people that live their life and wonder when they come to the end what it's going to be like. And so, you know, as a result of that, we got all kind of strange doctrines cropping up in the church. You know, first of all, there's this doctrine of, because it's hard to believe that, you know, a loving God would let somebody go to eternal punishment. So I can't fathom that. So I'll make up a doctrine called universalism. Amen. And that says everybody's getting in. I had a guy that came to Bible study a couple of months ago. And after I got finished teaching, he waited till everybody was gone. I said, see, that's why, man, might need to hire me some security, man, just to come up there and stand beside me, right? He waited till everybody was gone, and then he wanted to come up there and argue with me about the fact that everybody was going to heaven. And he came, and man, we stood up there, I don't know how long it was. He was bent on everybody. How could God do? And what? That's the whole doctrine of universalism, that everybody's going to get in. You know, my brothers and sisters, there's enough in this word to let us know not everybody talking about heaven is going there. Everybody, and I hate, excuse my English, everybody ain't getting in. And so then people go to the other stream to say, well, you know, we're going to be annihilated, you know, so that we just will cease to exist. So that's ways that people try to get it out of their mind that when they leave this life, that they want to stand in judgment before somebody. So if everybody's gone, then I don't have to stand in judgment. Or if I'm going to be completely annihilated, I don't have to stand in judgment. Amen. I thank God that we as Christians don't have to deal with any of that foolishness. All we got to do is look at what Christ has done for us. And we realize that because Christ came, the hopes and fears, the biggest fear for many people is death. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Turn to 1 Peter, and I'm done. 1 Peter, chapter 1. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, Peter says, blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a dead hope. A live hope. A living hope. He's begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That we have a living hope to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That God has an inheritance that you can look forward to. That when you die, you know what? Now let me say this. You might be concerned about how you die. Amen. But you should not be. If you're a Christian, if you truly accepted Christ, you shouldn't be concerned about death. Because the Bible says that death is sleep. Okay. That the child of God, you know, Brother Hager, I got to do his service tomorrow. You know, I met Brother Hager at the Golden Corral. No, we go there. We would not as much now. We would go there every Saturday morning for breakfast, and Brother Hager and his wife were there, and he would just come and you know we would talk. You know, he'd come around. We'd talk for 15 minutes every Saturday. We, you know, we just have great time of talking. And Brother Hager, he passed away this last week. And, you know, I know that when he died, because I went up to his house a couple weeks ago, and I began to talk to him about his soul. And I, you know, asked him, had he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? And he began to tell me that he had received Christ and that he knew that Christ was his Savior. So I know that when Brother Hager died, I know that he opened up his eyes in the presence of the Lord. There was no fear. Need to be no fear in death. So as Christians, you know, God got this covered. He has it taken care of. So what is the greatest fear that people have? The greatest fear is death. But that's the greatest need that has been met, in the fact that God has taken care of that. And notice what he says. We have, let me say this, we have an incorruptible inheritance that it can't, you know, like these flowers right here, you know, they're beautiful, they look good, but eventually they're going to what? Start to fade and wilt and die. Our inheritance is not going to fade away. It's undefiled. It's not tainted or stained with anything. It's a pure inheritance. And it's an inheritance that's not fade away. It's reserved in heaven. It'll always be there. Christ met the fears. The hopes and the fears were met in him. As I think about this idea of death, I'm reminded of a poem, if you'll go to that next slide. And in this poem, it's called Thanatopsis. Now, this is a larger work, and this is the conclusion of the poem. But I've always liked this because it lets us know, because a lot of people fear death, as I keep saying. And I'm not in any hurry to leave here. I hope you're not either. But just to let you know that was one of the main things that Jesus came to meet. And I like this right here. And it says, so live that when thy summons come to join the innumerable caravan which moves to that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death. That you don't go like the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. And that's why Jesus came. Many reasons, but this is one reason, so that when you leave this earth, that you leave in peace.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time as we continue to bring you more messages from Dr. Glaze to anchor your soul in the Lord. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, God is the hope in the midst of our fears, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God is the hope in the midst of our fears. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God is the hope in the midst of our fears. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.